starting at verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and they woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, these are words of truth and life. And Father, we read that faith comes through hearing the message of Christ. And Father, please would you bring faith today. Faith in those who don't yet have it, and faith in those of us that do. Cause us to trust Jesus more. Amen. As a parent with young children, I think I've spent more time in playgrounds now than I did when I was a little boy. But I remember one incident, and the child will remain nameless. But I remember one incident where my kid was climbing up a climbing frame. And I turned my back for a moment just to talk, I think, to one of the other children. And I was suddenly kind of awoken from my conversation with these screams of desperation. "Dad!" As there's this child, I turn around to see them hanging from this bar, with just dangling over this great expanse of nothingness. Kind of absolutely gripped with terror. They had this look of horror on their face. They were hanging from this bar. Now, what do you do, apart from laugh, what do you do as a dad? Well, you run over to the situation, don't you? And you put out your hands and you say, "It's okay, trust me, I'll catch you. Trust me, just drop, I've got it sorted, trust me." That's what a parent does, doesn't he? A parent is meant to say to their children, "Trust me." Now, if you've got that kind of image of a terror-struck child dangling from a climbing frame, in desperate need, and a dad with his arms out saying, "Trust me, I'll keep you safe. Trust me, I'll catch you," then I want to show you this morning that actually, that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to us this morning as we come to this story about a storm. This morning, I want to suggest that if Jesus was standing here with this story in front of him, he would be saying to people like you and me, to disciples, "Trust me." Like, particularly when we find ourselves in those times of terror, when we find ourselves dangling from a climbing frame. Now, I know that you don't often find yourself dangling from a climbing frame, but we do find ourselves, don't we, sometimes in situations where we are scared, where we are terrified, where fear has gripped us. We regularly, as disciples, can find ourselves in a storm of life. A situation where it feels like the boat of our life is filling with water and we are going to drown. Isn't that true? Maybe it's an illness that you're facing. It's overwhelming. I'm scared of this. Maybe it's a life crisis. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a parenting issue. Maybe, boys and girls, maybe it's something for you at school. Maybe it's a playground problem, like guys mess around with you at school and you're just not sure how to handle it and it's overwhelming. Maybe it's a classroom thing. It's very true that often we can find ourselves gripped with fear. We can find ourselves feeling like our boat is sinking. But the Lord Jesus says to us this morning, "Trust me. You can trust me in the storm. And this story in front of us today is his way, as it were, of holding out to us and saying, let me show you that you can trust me. Whatever situation you find yourself in life, whatever storm you face, he's like a dad with his arms stretched out as you dangle from a climbing frame. And Jesus says to us this morning, let me show you that you can trust me. See, very often, don't we react more like the disciples do in this story? Do you see Jesus' question to them? What does he say? Where is your faith? Why didn't you trust me? That's what he's saying to them at the end of this story. Because you know, we mustn't be critical of them, because we know what this is like, don't we? When we find ourselves in a moment where terror takes over, when you're dangling from a climbing frame, looking at the huge drop below you, what do? Well, we often don't trust. But Jesus says to us this morning, look, I want to show you that you can trust me. I want to show you. See, why do the disciples at this moment in this storm not have faith? Why do they not trust Jesus? I think verse 25 holds the answer for us this morning. Can you have a look? Verse 25, where is your faith? He asks his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? Who is this? At this moment in their journey as disciples, they do not have a clear picture of who Jesus is. And because they do not see clearly who is with them in the boat, because they don't see clearly who the power and authority of Jesus, what does it lead to? It leads to a lack of trust. But as this incident's recorded for us this morning, Jesus is saying to us, look, I want to show you can trust me. And I know some of you guys quite well now. Some of you I don't know quite as well yet. But I don't know what you're facing, some of you, at the moment. But the Lord Jesus says to us this morning through this story, you can trust me, and I want to show you you can trust me. And I've got 4 points from this story. 4 things that give you reasons to trust Jesus. And here it is. First of all, trust Jesus in the storm, because he is the one who leads his disciples even into a storm. Trust him, because he leads his disciples even into a storm. I've never been to the set of a movie, but if we were to go and see where a film is being made, what would you see? There'd be one man walking around, the director. And he'd be navigating everything. He'd be telling people what to do. He'd be looking down the lens of a camera saying, no, I want you to stand here, and I want you over here. And in a few moments, I want you to come in from over here. That's what a director does in a film. And these verses this morning reveal to us, look at verse 22, that Jesus is the director of this life and what happens. One day Jesus said to his disciples, verse 22, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and they set out. Jesus is totally in control of where his disciples end up. Even when that takes them into the middle of a lake and they find themselves in a storm where they think they're going to drown. There is not a moment in this story where Jesus is not in control. Jesus leads his disciples. He always leads his disciples because he is God. And he leads us into and through and out of a storm. That's what he does for his disciples in this particular place. In this particular incident, he takes them, as it were, into the classroom of this storm because he wants them to learn something. But Jesus leads them. That's the big truth we're meant to see. That is what the disciples do not have eyes to see at this point in the storm. When the storm rages around them, who is this? It's the one who led them. It's the one who always leads them. It's the God who has led them consistently through the whole of the Bible, if you read it. He always leads his people. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. We've sung about this. Jesus leads his disciples. And at that moment in the storm, the disciples had lost sight of that truth. And that's why their faith flew away and their fear kicked in. They'd lost sight of Jesus. And I want to say to us this morning that the same is true for us. Now, this may be a new truth to us this morning, that Jesus is totally in control of your life, even when you end up somewhere difficult. That may be a hard thing for some of us to hear, but it is true. And it's meant to be a truth that causes us to drop into the arms of Jesus from a climbing frame. It's meant to be the truth that where he says to us, you can trust me because I'm always with you. I've always leading you. I haven't abandoned you. See, Jesus didn't send them into the middle of this lake on his own. He was with them. He directed them and he was with them. We don't need to fear because right now we are where Jesus wants us to be. And I know that may be hard to hear for some of us this morning, but it is true. We are exactly where Jesus, the director, wants us to be. And so trust him. Trust Jesus in the storm. Trust the one who is totally in control. The temptation, you see, like the disciples, the temptation is when something bad happens in our life, when a storm comes along and our boat fills with water, that we think, oh no, well maybe Jesus has gone off to get a cup of tea and the world's suddenly gone out of control. Actually, that's not true. Jesus is in control of your storm as he was when life was going smoothly. And we've got to see that. Why? Because it's Jesus' way of saying, let me show you can trust me. Because he leads these disciples into, through, and out of this storm. Trust me, Jesus says, because I am the one who leads you. That's what he says to us this morning as disciples. Second reason that we can trust. Point number two, we can trust him. Jesus holds out his hands to us today and he says, trust me, because I became one of you. Why can you trust Jesus in a storm? Because he became one of us. Has anyone ever seen that program? I've only ever seen it once, but I think it's a series. It's something called The Secret Millionaire. Has anyone seen that? It's basically where the big boss, like the most senior person in a company, becomes one of his employees. So they dress him up so he's not recognized. And then he becomes just an everyday worker. So I think the one I saw was about a fast food chain. And this guy just went in and he was serving burgers to customers. Yet he owns the whole chain. He owns everything. He's a millionaire. And yet on this particular day, he just went in and he worked in this shop. Just was an ordinary, normal worker. And he found out what it was like to work for his company. He found out what it was like to live among the people who do the everyday work. Now, it's very easy to miss this detail, but the same is true of what Jesus did. Have a look at verse 22 and 23. Again, Jesus gets into the boat and they set out across this lake. Verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep and a squall came up on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Now, it's a small detail of the story, but as people who sit here this morning who know the ending, can I tell you that these verses are absolutely staggering? And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, who has all power with his words to calm a storm, what has he done? He shrunk himself down to be someone who can sit in a boat and who can fall asleep and who can sit in the middle of a storm. Do you see that? The all-powerful God who breathed creation into being with his words has shrunk himself down to become one of us. Here is someone who knows. Now get this, why can you trust him? Because here is someone who knows what it is to be you. Who knows what it is to be me. Because he is the one who truly became one of us. So much so that the infinite God of the universe who created you and me needs to have a sleep. Do you see that? That's how much like us he was. Jesus is God. Who became one of us. And actually, if you say to Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through, how can I trust you right now? You're God, you've got everything in control. Wrong. Jesus is the one exactly who knows what it is to be in a storm. Jesus has experienced the greatest of storms in life. He sat in the middle of this physical storm, but he's experienced all the storms and troubles of life that we might even encounter slightly. Think about the Lord Jesus' experience as he travelled the journey to the cross. That's where the whole story of Luke is heading. The Lord Jesus, as he went to the cross, experienced the most fiercest of storms. Think about what he went through. Hatred from his enemies. Abuse from his enemies. He was physically beaten by soldiers. He was abandoned by his friends. He was mocked. He suffered agony and shame. Jesus knows what it is to be in a storm. Jesus knows what it is to be in a situation that would cause many of us to be terrified. And he says to us this morning, trust me. You can trust me in the storms that I face. Why? Because I became one of you. I shrunk myself down to sit in a boat, to fall asleep, and to experience the storms so that I can be someone who helps you in your storms. Hebrews puts it like this, because he himself suffered and was tempted in every way, he is able to help those who are being tempted. When the storm of your life rages, and for some of you it is, when the storm of your life rages, where do we need to fix our eyes? Who do we need to trust? Jesus, who became one of us, who knows what it is to be you, and who knows what it is to be me. And he is the one who faced the greatest storm of God's wrath at our sin. He knows what it is to be in a storm, and he knows what it is to be fearful in a storm. But he knows what it is to trust. You see, here's the point. Hebrews 12, another part of the New Testament, tells us that Jesus is the pioneer of our faith. He's the one who ran before us. So as he shrunk himself down to be one of us, do you know what he did? He lived a life of perfectly trusting God, even when he was fearful. I would imagine that if the cross was facing me, I would be absolutely terrified. I genuinely mean that. And my temptation would be to do the disciples and freak out. Master, Master, we're going to drown. You know, it's all over. Everything's gone. Where have you gone? But actually, do you know what? Jesus didn't do that. He trusted. And because he lived the life of trust that we are meant to live, he can now help us in our storm. So Jesus says, first of all, trust me. Are you still with me? He says, trust me because he's the one who leads us. He says, trust me because I became one of you. Point number three. Jesus says, trust me because he acts in response to the prayers of his disciples. That's what we see in this story. When my kids are in bed sometimes, they get scared at nighttime. Not the older ones, but the younger ones. They get scared of the dark. You ever had that experience? And what happens is the air raid siren goes. My Levi has the most unbelievable air raid siren of a cry. And when you are fast asleep as a parent, it kind of, he starts crying and you kind of wake up and you're staggering around and you run down and you try and help him out. But he's terrified. But what does he do? What's his instinct? Mom, Dad, I'm scared. I'm crying. He cries out. And we come running, or probably more accurately, Emma comes running. You'd need a very loud siren to get me up sometimes. But look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Here's the air raid siren cry of some scared kids. Master, Master, we're going to drown. I'm not very good at acting. I didn't do drama very well, but I'd imagine they didn't say it that calmly. Master, Master, we're going to drown. They were probably screaming this at the top of their voices to get their voice heard over the wind and the waves, and their feet were beneath splashing around in water because their boat was filling up. This was a panicked moment. This was utter terror. But what do? Well, they scream in their terror to the Lord Jesus. They scream to the one who is able to do this. Who is this? They say at the end of the story. Well, this is the one who responds to the prayers of his people. Because it's this shouting, it's this shaking, it's this calling upon Jesus which rouses him out of his sleep to take action that saves them. Do you see that? This is what we've got to be assured of this morning. You can trust Jesus. This story shows you can trust Jesus. Because what does he do? And even though the disciples are calling out in terror rather than faith, what does Jesus do in kindness? He wakes up and he does something about it. Now that has to encourage us this morning, doesn't it? That when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm, what is our Jesus like? What is the one who says to us, trust me, like? Who is this? He's the one who acts when you pray. He's the one who does things when his children call out. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't that an incentive to pray in the middle of your storm? Because you know you can trust Jesus because he acts in the middle of storms to the prayers of his people. Now please don't misunderstand this. It's not a promise that every storm will be removed. But it is meant to instill in us a trust in Jesus that when I call, he hears. When a disciple, someone trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, hollers out to Jesus, whether that's in fear or faith, Jesus acts. Do you pray? Do you pray in the storm? Do you pray when you're worried? Do you pray when you're fearful? You know, we can trust Jesus because he acts in response to this disciple's prayers. It's easy to forget that truth, isn't it, when we're in difficulty. Point number four. We can trust Jesus. He says, trust me this morning because he is the one who has power to save the drowning. Just look with me at the second half of verse 24. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Now, if there is anything in this story that is going to help you to answer that question, who is this? It is what Jesus does here, isn't it? Who is this? It's even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus gets up and he rebukes, he tells off the wind and the waves. And it calms down, calms to a whisper. A friend of mine, and I only remember this because it was such a vivid picture when she told me, but a friend of mine told me about a time when she was a kid and she heard this story. And she was so convinced that she could go home and do this. So in the bath that evening, she slopped all this water around, the bath water's moving up and down, and she was like, stop! And unsurprisingly, what happened? Just kept moving. I mean, we can't even stop a cup of tea slopping about the place, can we, when we're walking from one place to another? But Jesus, with a word, can command creation to do something and it obeys him. Now you see, in fairness to the disciples, because I don't want to be critical of them because we're like them, but I can understand their reaction in verse 25, can't you? Poor disciples, I mean, they just bounce from fear to fear in this story, don't they? So first of all, they're terrified of the storm because they're thinking of drown. And then look at verse 25, halfway through. Who are they afraid of now? Jesus. And you'd have every right to be afraid of Jesus. There's a man in your boat that you've been following around for a while, and suddenly he can tell creation what to do and it obeys him. Who is this? Just get into the scene here. Get into the moment. Who is this guy? You know, I can't even stop a cup of tea slopping around, and he can tell a whole sea to be quiet. He can tell the wind to calm down, and it does it. Who is this? And the answer is Jesus is none other than God, the Creator. Jesus is none other than the one who spoke the waters that they were floating in into being. He spoke creation into being, the wind into being, and that this creation knows his voice. It recognizes him. Oh, that's the voice of the one who made us. And we do what he says. This is God. Who is Jesus? Why can you trust him? Because he's God. Do you know what? Over and over again in the Bible, who is it you see calming storms and flattening seas? It's God. No one else does it in the Bible. It's God. Listen to these words. Psalm 107. Amazing words. And see if you can sound familiar, okay? They cried out to the Lord. So it describes a group of people in Psalm 107 who find themselves in a boat in a storm. And listen to what it says about God. They cried out to the Lord, to God, the Creator, in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. The guys in the boat would have known that psalm. Maybe not in the terror of the moment, but maybe as they look back, they would have known that psalm. And it identifies Jesus as the Creator God who has all power. But what does he use his power for? What does he use it for? To save the drowning. Did you see that? He uses his power to save those who are in distress. This word that we have translated here, drowning, or to drown, is actually a word that sometimes in Luke's gospel is to perish or to be lost. It's the same word in Greek. And it's this idea of being ruined. It's this idea of game over. It's totally kind of, this is it. We're heading for destruction. And Jesus, the Creator God, uses his power to save those who are lost, who are perishing, who are to be in destruction. You see, you notice this. Jesus doesn't tell these guys off. He says, oh, come on, lads, you're overreacting. It's just a little bit of water in the boat. Man up. Come on, be a bit braver. Now, he recognizes this is a real problem. They really were going to drown. It wasn't just an overreaction. This is real trouble. This is real danger. And Jesus uses his power to save those who were drowning. Isn't that something you need to hear this morning? That Jesus, the one who says to us, trust me, is the one who has all power to save those who are perishing. He has all power to save those who are in a boat filled with water about to drown. When you're in a storm, whatever it may be, we can trust Jesus. I mean, who else are you going to trust? Who else has power to help you? Jesus is the one who has power to save the drowning. And like I've already said, this is not a promise that he'll take away every storm. But out of his kindness, Jesus takes this story and he says to guys like you and me, you know, whatever I choose, wherever I choose to direct you in your storm, I want you to know, though, that I have power to help you. Why? So that you trust me. So that you lean fully upon me as the one who can help you, who can keep you safe, who can keep you from perishing. Being able to answer the question that the disciples ask in verse 25, who is this? Being able to answer that by seeing Jesus as the one who has all power to help you in your drowning means that you'll trust him rather than fear and be gripped with terror. And I want to show you this morning, because it's actually a wonderful thing, but in this little story about drowning and perishing, actually, do you know what? Luke gives you a hint of the bigger story that he's telling in the whole of his gospel. Because it describes for us what Jesus came to do. What is the bigger story that Luke's telling here? It is of Jesus, the Son of God, who shrunk himself down to become one of us so that he could save people from drowning in a much bigger storm than the wind and the waves. See, a little bit later in Luke 19, Jesus describes the state of every single one of us as lost, as perishing, as drowning. Did you know that? That's what it means to be in a broken relationship with God. That is where we are because of our sin. And actually, every single one of us deserves to be drowning in the storm of God's anger at our sin. That is the truth that the Bible presents us with. We deserve to be in the storm of God's anger. But actually, the Lord Jesus is the one who came into this world to do what? To use his godness, his God power, to save people who deserve to drown in the storm of God's sin, a storm of God's wrath at our sin. Each of us deserves to drown, but Jesus has power to save the drowning. And many of us sit here this morning as saved people because we've trusted Jesus. Do you know what? The power of Jesus here is something we should trust. That's how you become a Christian. But this story is teaching us that that's how you go on being a Christian. You keep trusting Jesus. And here's my point. If Jesus used his power to save some of us from the greatest storm that we will ever face in life, which is the storm of God's anger at our sin, then why wouldn't he then help you in the little storms that you face in your life? You see that? That's a biblical argument. That's how Romans goes. It says in Romans 8 that if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? If God saved you, Jesus has saved you from the biggest storm you'll ever face, then of course you can trust him. Of course you can trust him in the little storms of your life. Of course you can trust him when you're facing that illness. Of course you can trust him when you're facing that parenting crisis. Why? Because he has power to save those who are drowning. Jesus stretches out his hands to us this morning. And he says, trust me, please, trust me. Let me show you that you can trust me when you face a storm. And for some of us here this morning, maybe Jesus is stretching out his hand to you for the first time. And the storm that you need saving from is the storm of God's anger at your sin. And Jesus stretches out a hand to you this morning and says, trust me, that's why I came into the world. That's why I shrunk myself down to become one of you, so that I could save you. I could use my power to save you from the storm of God's anger. But as we put our faith in Jesus for the first time, actually, that's how we are to go on. So friends, I know many of us in this room are believers this morning. But actually, what does Jesus say to us? What does he say to you as you head out into this week? He says, trust me. Trust me because I'm the one who leads you. Trust me because I'm the one who became one of you. I know what it is to be you. I know what it is to face a storm. He says, trust me because I do things when you pray. And he says, trust me because I'm the one who has power to save you when you're drowning. That's why we should trust Jesus. So next time, metaphorically, that you find yourself hanging from a climbing frame and you find yourself screaming in terror because there's a big drop below you, remember this story and remember that Jesus stretches out a hand and says, trust me. Have faith, not fear. Let's bow our heads and let's pray as we finish.